Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. A new week, a new month, and we're ready to go. We are. God smiled when he made you and still smiles when he thinks of you. You're on his heart and in his care all the time, my friend. And we need to get rid of the fear and the doubt and the unbelief and the worry and all the cares, casting them all on him, because he really loves you. He really loves me. We got to get that into our minds and our hearts, because like 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we are called his children. We are called the children of God. What a blessing. So when doubts seem to just crouch in there, I just really give my affirmations like I do in the Power Pack. I am redeemed. I am holy. I am blameless. I am sanctified. I am righteous before God. And it's all because of Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. But it's all because of Jesus. Oh, it's such a blessing to live in this day and age with all the uncertainty and know that God loves you. He does. Oh, let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. Oh, it is the Word of God. And that's what I have placed in the Word Power for Every Hour Bible Guide. And I hope you are reading through your Bible this year. I really do. Not just jumping around, but reading through the Bible, because that really solidified my conviction and my faith when I began to truly read through the Bible. And so that's why in the Word Power Bible Guide, I have Old Testament reading, and then we go to the New Testament. Right now, we are in Psalm 119 and in 1 Timothy. And I hope that you have something that you are reading every day and studying, because, oh, that's going to be a blessing for you. God bless you. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can hear Call to Freedom 4 times a day at 9 o'clock at night on KLTT, at 2:30 in the morning, at 5:30 in the morning, and then at 12:20 KLDC at 11 o'clock in the morning. And if you'd like to listen to programming like today, How Did We Get Here, where you can go to freedomstreet.org and click in resources, radio shows, and it will give you those titles. Last week, Kimberly gave such a great teaching on resistors and receiving. From resisting to receiving. Oh, it was beautiful, really beautiful. So I hope you go there and check it out. It's a wonderful place to listen and get rejuvenated and encouraged in the Word of God, because we speak the Word every day on the radio. You can also go to Spotify, type in Freedom ST Radio, and that will get you to our program. You can also go online at 670KLTT.com/call to freedom and hear me on the Crawford station. Lots of places to go, so I hope you are tuning in. We do have a meeting Saturday, August the 8th, and we are going to gather at the restaurant at 9:30 for brunch. I hope you can join us, and at 11 o'clock for Bible study, the Lord willing. I say the Lord willing because it seems like the heat wave will still be with us this next weekend. And last month we had such a great time at the restaurant and fellowship there for 2 hours because it was so extremely hot last month. And I don't have air conditioning, so we just stayed at the restaurant and just had a great time. So if it's really hot again this Saturday, we'll stay at the restaurant. I love the people at the restaurant. They are wonderful. The food is great. And if you'd like reservations for the restaurant, call me at 1-877-917-7256. Hope to see you this Saturday, August the 8th. I had the privilege of attending the Tunnels to Towers presentation at Lowry, which was an old air base right north of me in East Denver. And it used to be an air base for all the World War II planes. It was a huge base, a lot of runways, a lot of Quonset huts. And now there's one that has been converted to a museum called Wings Over the Rockies. And I went with my two friends, Jeff and Karen, and it was a tribute to all the fallen on that horrible day in 2001. Tunnel to Towers is touring the U.S. in commemoration of 9/11, bringing with them a steel beam from the Twin Towers that fell that day. And the beam is housed in a large black truck that goes with the whole team. And they'll be probably at 30 or 40 places on tour this year. The day after the collapse, mourning the loss of his brother, Stephen, Frank Siller knew he had to do something, and something he truly did. He began an organization to help the families of the fallen and help those who were injured and disabled by the implosion and the debris, and later on the illnesses and sickness. Here's his brother Stephen's story. On September 11th, Stephen, who was a member of Brooklyn's Squad 1 Fire Department, had just finished his shift and was on his way to play golf with his brothers. I think he even had shorts on, or Bermuda shorts, when he got word over his scanner of a plane hitting the North Tower of the World Trade Center. Upon hearing the news, Stephen called his wife Sally and asked her to tell his brothers that he would catch up with them later. He was fully believing that he would be playing golf with his brothers. He returned to Squad 1 to get his gear. He drove his truck to the entrance of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, which is why it's named Tunnel to Towers. And it had already been closed. So Stephen, determined to carry out his duty, strapped 60 pounds of gear to his back and raced on foot through the tunnel to the Twin Towers, where he gave up his life while saving others. Stephen had everything to live for, a great family and friends. He grew up under the guiding philosophy of St. Francis of Assisi, whose encouraging and inspirational phrase, "While we have time, let us do good," were words that Stephen lived by. Let's spend our time here on earth doing good. That is a legacy you can leave behind, as Stephen did. If you would like to give to this worthy cause, go to T2, and that's a number, T, capital T, number 2, T.org. Tunnel to Towers is paying off mortgages for the disabled families and building new homes to accommodate the disabled, as well as buying old hotels and converting them to apartments for veterans who are homeless. Frank and his organization are also providing college grants and scholarships to give to children of these families, free college education. I mean, this is a tremendous work. God bless you. God bless you, T2T. And I just sent my contribution. I do it every month to Call to Freedom. And all they ask is $11 a month, but some of us pay more. So just go to t2t.org and look it up. It's wonderful. Memory verse for this week is Psalm 73, 25 through 26. I am just so appreciative of this wonderful verse by Asaph, a worship leader who was appointed by King David. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Oh, beautiful verses. And we're going to be explaining some of the very first part of chapter 73, because he's talking about the behavior of the wicked. And I want you to know about this, because you're going to be aware and being able to pray to overcome this oppression that's even over our country right now. In the Passion, Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? You're all I want. No one on earth means as much to me as you. Lord, so many times I fail. I fall into disgrace. But when I trust in you, I have a strong and glorious presence protecting and anointing me. Forever, you're all I need. Those who abandon the worship of God will perish. The false and unfaithful will be silenced, never heard from again. But I'll keep coming closer and closer to you, Lord Yahweh, for your name is good to me. I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. Oh, that's what I resonate every day. Oh, God, you're so faithful. You're so good. Oh, you have anointed me. You have sanctified me. I am righteous because of Jesus Christ, and I can go boldly before your throne. Have you ever thought you needed more sleep and then right there in the middle of the night or early morning, this still small voice begins to echo through your mind all the anointed scripture? And now at the age that I am, I have a lot of scripture in my spirit, and it awakens your spirit to glorious things. Then you say, okay, who needs more sleep? You get up to listen to Holy Spirit, and you get up whatever time. I don't really look at the clocks. I just know that Holy Spirit wants me up, so I get up, whether it's 1:30, 2 o'clock, 4:30, whatever time. When I was reading this beautiful passage of scripture from Psalm 73:24, it says, and I was reading the whole chapter, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. I thought of John 10, where our shepherd leads us into green pastures where we can flourish and thrive in his presence. It's such a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Let's go to John 10 right, just for a little while here. And I'm going to read from the Message. The Message is such a beautiful Bible. If you don't have a Message, you can go to christianbook.com. They will send one out to you. They have me many times, the Living Translation, the Message Translation, the Passion Translation, and the New American Standard, of course. So many great translations for us. I know some of you are still reading the King James, but I'll tell you, friend, when you get into some of these new translations, they clarify for you, and the descriptions in them are just awesome. Awesome. So let's go to John 10. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. He wants to take advantage of the sheep for his own benefit, greed and dishonesty. And here in John 10, it's Jesus speaking. He's telling this story. So this sheep rustler, Kimberly was talking about in her teaching on resistors last Wednesday and Thursday. And if you go to freedomstreet.org and look under resources to radio shows, you will find the titles Getting Back on Track. Go listen to it. And From Resisting to Receiving. Oh, great, great programs. So Jesus continues in John 10. The true shepherd walks right up to the gate. He has confidence. He has authority. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. See, he wants us to recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He calls you by name and leads them out. When they're all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. You aren't used to the sound of a man who is worldly, who is just looking out for himself. In fact, if you've been in a crowd where a person is just spouting off and so proud about all his accomplishments, pretty soon you might just get up from your chair and walk out. Because it's just not what you want to hear. When we are born again, we recognize his voice. There were times when I would ask myself, and I'm sure you did too, is this the Lord speaking to me, or is this the enemy? And it has become so good, so evident to know that it's Jesus speaking to me. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it does take time, my friend, to recognize his voice. Just like Elijah when he went to Mount Horeb in the latter part of 1 Kings, and there was an earthquake and there was a tornado, and then there was this still small voice, and he recognized it as the Lord's. Oh, it's different from the selfish motives of the enemy. you can tell by the inflection in the voices. And that's why Darren, so many would people would tell, he would tell people that's their voice print, because the voices are almost as distinguishable as fingerprints. So Jesus is saying here in verse 10, he's telling a simple story, and they had no idea what he was talking about. He said, okay, I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. He will go freely in and out and find pasture. Oh, I love that. The thief, the sheep rustler, is only there to steal and kill and destroy. And we know the title of that thief is Satan himself. And there are a lot of evil spirits that follow him. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I just want to tell you that one third of the angels fell with Lucifer when he fell from heaven. But I want to tell you that two thirds of the angels are loyal to God, and they are guarding over you and protecting you. I want you to know that. Yes, in ancient Israel, the sheepfolds were typically surrounded by barriers and had a single entrance that the shepherd guarded all night. These enclosures were often built from stone walls or wooden fences. One main door allowed the sheep to enter and exit, and the shepherd would sleep or stand at this opening to protect the flock. This practice is directly referenced to John 10, 1 through 9, where Jesus uses the metaphor of the sheepfold to describe himself as the gate for the sheep, the only legitimate way to safety and salvation. The shepherd's vigil at the sheepfold's entrance symbolized both physical protection and spiritual guidance. So Holy Spirit started encouraging me to start reading from the very beginning of Psalm 73. And this is a vivid description by Asaph of the hearts of the people who live in the kingdom of darkness. And he allowed us to see the evil behavior that emanates from unbelievers. And I want to read from the sixth verse of Psalm 73, verse 6. Pride is something that the wicked adorn themselves with as a necklace around their neck, and violence covers them as a garment. They continually want more and are never content. Their tongues speak blasphemies and lies, a self-centered generation. Whoa, this is like right out of the news today, the rebellion and the uprising that's taking place. Should we be surprised that our children and grandchildren have acted in such a despicable way when we have allowed progressive and Marxist teachers to instruct them for the last 50 or 60 years? Psalm 73 goes on to say, they have no knowledge of the Most High. If parents don't teach their children about God, you know that the school system in America won't. This is a playbook for politics 2026. How did all this happen right under our noses? I thought of all the presidents that have held office while I've been on this earth. There were a lot of them. Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush. All these presidents, believe it or not, all these presidents recognized the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They grew up hearing about Jesus dying on the cross and being resurrected from the dead. Yes, they did. Even Kennedy, he was a devout Catholic, and he remembers in Sunday school and at Mass how Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Even Bill Clinton, he was raised in Arkansas. He went to Sunday school when he was a little boy. So he knows about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And most of them attended churches, even if they were very contemporary and secular in their beliefs. And then there was Barack Hussein Obama, who grew up in a secular world that did not recognize God. He was trained by Saul Alinsky's disciples when he was a community organizer in Chicago. And community organizations were founded by Saul Alinsky in Chicago in the mid to late 1980s. Here is where Obama got all his training. He was supported by 20 Protestant churches in the area and also the Catholic Church in Chicago. Even when he brought his campaign to Denver in 2008, people went crazy. They did. I watched for a couple minutes and I said, oh, this is awful. And here it's happening in Denver. And then it was a purple state. Since then, in 2008, Denver has become, and Colorado has become a blue state, and mostly Denver. I heard women say, we're going to get free phones, we're going to get free rent, free gas. And under this Democratic leadership in Colorado, our debt now, and we were debt free with Republican governors, our debt now is $16 billion. That's a B, folks, $16 billion. Oh, I got curious and looked up the education in the late 60s and early 70s and the community leaders who were being indoctrinated by a Marxist system. That's where Saul Alinsky got all of his information. Marx's work contains a utopian dimension. Oh, and you mentioned utopia. And oh, that's a dream. That's where we get everything and everything's free. And it's like heaven on earth. Well, when you serve Jesus, it's heaven on earth. Well, here I want to just describe a little bit about ending this historical oppression that they think they're under and achieving human emancipation. And that's what you see in all the streets right now. No police, no ICE, no government, no Congress, no presidents, no justice system. I mean, they're crazy. Saul Alinsky, a Jew, just like George Soros, I don't understand it, folks. I just don't. He took up Marx's conviction in a book called Rules for Radicals for the Overthrow of the Government. Really interesting. And I don't recommend reading any of his works. They're not worth it. But to know how the evil came into the United States, and before that, there were progressives in the United States. But Saul Alinsky, it seems like he had a foothold and a grasp more than any other man. And he wrote this book, Rules for Radical, to Overthrow the Government. And by the way, his last book he wrote, he dedicated to Satan. It's right there in front. I dedicate this book to Satan. I hate to see where he is today. I really do, because I believe he is in hell. One of the things that I have learned about Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she was Hillary Rodham at the time, is that one of her heroes, her mentors, was Saul Alinsky. And her senior thesis was about this evil man. And this was someone she greatly admired. So go figure why she was the way she was and why she has acted the way she has acted and brought through forth policies that she wanted to have. And no wonder she is not president or was not president. I am so grateful to God. And in his book, Rules for Radicals, and I'm reading from Saul Alinsky's book, are 8 points to overthrow the government. Number one, and boy, as I go through them, you will understand and see where the United States is fighting. They are fighting all of this progressive movement. Number one, control health care, and you control the people. The health care here is in shambles, not as bad as Europe or Canada, but Obamacare is really not what the people want. They still have to wait months to get to doctor's appointments. I mean, Obamacare, yuck. Number two, increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live. And boy, if they see anything free, they run for it. And number three, increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. This is something the Democrats do faithfully, increase taxes. And they're doing that here in Colorado. Number four, remove the Second Amendment, the bearing of arms, the ability to defend themselves. That way you're able to create a police state. And that means that the people who are in charge are taking charge over all the people. Wow. Number five, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Food, housing, income, everything. Number six, take control of what children learn in school. Wow, that's been going on for generations. Take control of what people read and listen to. Social media, what is that controlled by? What are you listening to? Then number seven, remove the belief in God from the government and schools. And that's why churches were closed during COVID. They thought they had it made. They didn't. Churches are open now. And I even remember pastors that would go to a closed church and they would even and preach and even go outside with their congregations. I mean, they stood strong and they stood faithful. Praise God. And number eight, divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. That's class warfare, folks. This will cause more discontent and it will be easier to tax the wealthy. What's Mom Donnie doing? He's taxing the wealthy with the support of the poor. That's exactly what he's doing, trying to do, tax the wealthy. And you know what? The wealthy are moving out. So 8 points, control health care, increase the poverty level, increase the debt to an unsustainable level, remove the Second Amendment, welfare, take control of what children learn in school, remove the belief in God. Oh, I'm so glad we're getting rid of DEI and all of the woke things that are going on, even in the Smithsonian Institute and the Pentagon. So many woke organizations, I just get so emotional over some of this. So number seven, remove the belief in God from the government and schools and divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. And we see so much on the left saying, well, you're black, you don't belong in the Republicans. They are more racist than the Republicans and the conservatives. We invite everybody, and I hope that you are friendly towards everybody, my friend, because we are in war, more of a war than in Iran. And I pray that we can pray more and more diligently, coming against all of these controls by the left-wing movement, and that we will know that God is in control ultimately. Oh, praise God for our legislature, for President Trump, for our administration, and for the cabinet members. Oh, it was so good talking to you. I'll be back with you again tomorrow talking about John 10. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in